one practical tip that I would give you is make sure that you talk to your client before the bond hearing and not rely on the stories that the family or the facts necessarily that the family is telling you about the conduct for which they're being detained, because sometimes the family won't know all the details, and the last thing you want is for your, again, for your client to come up with a different story than what the record reflects.
That's always a fun position to be in.
Okay, so the notice, the charging document. The charging document, we have a question to this effect. The charging document is what initiates the removal proceeding, and that must be filed with the immigration court. So what is a notice to appear, an NTA? A notice to appear is a document that has, by statute and regulation, certain information in it that is filed with an immigration court by DHS, and that was properly served on your client. Signed by the correct person, signed by the person authorized to do so, and issuance versus commencement of proceedings. Those are two different things. An NTA issued and not filed with the immigration court, is it an NTA at all? Probably not. So let's go in detail on each of those questions. What is required on the NTA? The nature of the proceedings against the non-citizen, the legal authority under which proceedings were conducted, the acts or conduct, the allegations that are listed there, the charges, the fact that the person may be represented at their own expense and not at the expense of the government in these proceedings, and the need to file a change of address and phone number. And finally, and most importantly lately, the time and place of where the proceedings are to be held. Now, this is under both INA 239 and 8 CFR 239. This is not optional, regardless of what the Attorney General or the BIA thinks. The Supreme Court has said it's not optional. And that's really the core of Pereira v. Sessions. This is not optional. If Congress wanted to make it optional, They would not have put it in writing in the statute. If the administration had felt it was not optional, they would not have created regulations that mirror the statutory language and require these things. When you are addressing an NTA in immigration court, the judge will go through this and ask if you have actually read that NTA to the person, because they ask you, have you informed your client of the nature of these removal proceedings? Have you informed them of their rights in the removal proceedings? Are you aware of the charge? Have you reviewed the charges with your client? And this is when you are at the stage of doing your pleadings. Those aren't to be taken lightly. You do have to review the nature of the proceedings with the client. You do have to review their rights, well, not very many, but you do have to review their rights in the removal proceeding. And finally, when it comes to, because we are going to talk about challenges to the NTA, I was of the opinion that a challenge to a defective NTA is jurisdictional all the time and can be raised at any point in the proceedings, and so therefore you could go back. When it comes to Pereira, when it comes to this last part of time and place of proceedings, I'm not so sure about that anymore, because the Good Circuit law is not accepting that argument, that it is jurisdictional. So now, you know, if you have a defective NTA, when it comes to Pereira, which is time and place of proceedings, please make sure and raise those objections when you're doing your pleadings at the NTA stage, pleading stage. What constitutes proper service of the NTA? That is another thing the judge asks at the outset. Do you acknowledge proper service of a notice to appear? Personal service of the notice to appear on the respondent. Often there will be a signature, or sometimes it'll say refuse to sign, and then the officer will then initial it or something on the side there. Mail to the last known address, service upon counsel of record, and the... So usually an NTA is mailed by certified mail, but there's really no requirement that it be mailed by certified mail. And if it was mailed, The presumption is, and it doesn't come back. The presumption is that the that the respondent received it.
And the other thing you want to be very careful with in terms of service, what we have seen is there will be superseding NTAs that have been amended either by charge or section of law, and it's not the same NTA that your client was served with upon being detained. So pay attention when the judge says, I'm referring to an NTA that is dated 9/18/18, because yours might be dated August or July or a year before. And if you're not dealing with the same charging document, then you are not ready to proceed. And if your client has not been properly served with the superseding NTA, which they may have mailed to the last address, or they may have given to you right before you started your hearing, then you have a right to a reset so that you can look at that and analyze the differences between the NTA that your client was actually served with and the one that you're proceeding on. And I would make a jurisdictional argument there at that moment.
Right, because not just look at, served. Because if my client doesn't have a copy, and we all know that when our clients get out of detention, I mean, how many of you, when your client gets out of detention, they have all their paperwork in order, DHS gives them a correct copy of everything that they have, including the NTA.